You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. As the tallest building in San Francisco, Salesforce Tower is the new center of the city skyline. And in a few months, the top of the tower will be a public work of art. Moving images will softly glow in a slow rhythm across the top of the building. KELW's Carrie Spivak reports the installation by San Francisco visual artist Jim Campbell will change the evening sky minute by minute.
As a kid, Jim Campbell didn't think he would become an artist.
When I was growing up, I never met an artist, so I didn't actually know that it was an option.
Instead, he studied engineering and worked in Silicon Valley making television electronics. In his spare time, he created digital art in his Potrero Hill garage.
I was doing art for at least 10 years before I called myself an artist. I always had the artists on this unachievable high plateau that were, you know, other people.
Now, almost 20 years later, with art in major museums around the world, one could say Campbell has reached that high plateau. But he's raising it even higher, to the top of San Francisco's tallest building, where he's installing a permanent LED exhibit called Day for Night. During the day, cameras around San Francisco will record movement. Waves crashing on Ocean Beach, trees blowing in Golden Gate Park, pedestrians crossing Market Street. At night, the images will be projected onto the top of Salesforce Tower, like a visual diary of the day. It's the first time public art will be injected into a city skyline in this way. And even Campbell isn't completely sure about it.
Public art is typically designed in a very controlled way, having a good sense of what the result will be, whether it's confrontive or whether it's passive. I know exactly what this is going to be, but I have no idea what it will feel like in the context of the city. And if I don't, I don't think anybody does, because I've thought about it a lot.
He's been thinking about it since 2014, when the developer of Salesforce Tower selected his proposal to bolt over 11,000 pixels to the aluminum panels that cover the top of the building. With the construction of the tower nearly completed, Campbell and his engineers head to the roof to test the pixels that make his art possible.
How high up are we right now?
Scared?
Yes, I'm scared. Campbell and I are in the crown of Salesforce Tower at over 1,000 feet. Instead of offices enclosed by glass walls, these top six stories are open space, wrapped in aluminum with holes the size of airplane windows. Instead of a floor, we walk on graded catwalks.
I just got scared a moment ago looking down through the grating. If you ignore it, it's fine, but if you actually look down...
Below us is dizzying downtown San Francisco.
So right now, Sam is making the first connection to start testing the panels. He's connecting from our tester chassis.
There are over 100 aluminum panels lining the top of the building, and wired throughout are pixels.
We will find out very shortly if it's working or not.
We're firing up one panel, the first one. We'll see if it smokes. We call it the smoke test.
Good to go, Sam?
Altogether, they make a 100-foot-tall circular LED screen. But it's not like the billboards in Times Square. Instead, these pixels extend outward from the panels, like camping headlamps on selfie sticks, and shine light back at the aluminum panels to create a soft glow. Campbell says the images won't be bright or crisp, sharp, flashy, or spectacular. Just barely familiar images trickling across the night sky like a vague memory.
I see green, blue. I see lights.
Exactly. So what it'll do is it'll go through red, green, blue, white, and then it'll go through a pattern test to show us...
Campbell likes to explore the boundaries of perception. And with this installation, he wants to challenge what we expect to see in a skyline.
I have to say, and I still think this, even from the beginning, there's no real... precedent for having a giant image in the skyline of a city. And so I see this more and more so, I see this as a big experiment.
Why are you concerned that the imagery might not work? What could go wrong?
What could go wrong is people don't want to see an image in the sky. We don't know. I mean, do you know whether you want to or not? I don't.
San Francisco has hardly been a city to embrace changes to its skyline. In the 1960s, where residents saw natural hills downtown, developers saw opportunity. Big, boxy buildings shot up without oversight. Joshua Switsky, a lead planner with the San Francisco Planning Department, says a backlash against tall office buildings took root among critics and residents.
That created the planning framework to more consciously shape the city and the skyline based on public values and intention and not on private initiative.
It was called the Downtown Plan. And by the time Mayor Dianne Feinstein signed it in 1985, it had become one of the most publicized and scrutinized pieces of planning legislation in the country's history.
That plan required that tall buildings taper as they got taller, and emphasized more delicate and interesting tops of buildings.
To avoid refrigerator-like buildings, the plan required tops to be complex, decorative, sculptured, intricate, and expressive. Architects bristled. One critic said San Francisco wouldn't need architects, but milliners.
Putting silly hats on tops of buildings. And there certainly are buildings that's probably a fair representation.
An anti-high-rise movement was born. Tim Redman was a reporter for the Bay Guardian then and is the editor of 48hills.org now. He says the movement wasn't against high-rises or how they looked.
Oh, yeah, the Bay Guardian was very much proudly a part of the, you know, what was then called the anti-high-rise movement, but it was more than that. It was an urban environmental movement that wanted reasonable, rational planning in the city.
To address the fiscal impact development had on the rest of the city, he says.
When you do commercial office development, you attract workers to those buildings. How are they going to get there? Where are they going to live? What's going to happen if they need emergency services? And who's going to pay for all of that?
Not developers, says Redman. We're sitting in Dolores Park, overlooking residential neighborhoods giving way to the downtown skyline.
30 years ago, there were low-income working-class people living here. And most of them are gone. And that's because of what I see right over their heads. That's because of what I see downtown. So I'm glad that we require a fee for public art. I'm all in favor. I'm glad they're doing it. What is that going to do for the family who's being evicted in the Mission because the landlord wants to make more money by renting it out to somebody who works in Salesforce Tower?
The planning department still dictates the aesthetics of San Francisco urban design, but it has no control over Jim Campbell's art. And that's because of the downtown plan. It requires developers spend 1% of construction costs on public art. Now, typically, this produces street-level art, like sculptures, paintings, and digital work. But the city has no oversight on the actual art. So here, it's the developers and Jim Campbell who get final say over the new hat that will top Salesforce Tower and change the city skyline.
It's an interesting public art challenge in that, say, 1 million people are going to see this at night, whether they want to or not. And so what does that mean, whether they want to or not?
And what does that mean for the artist?
It's a challenge to have it fit in, have it be subtle, have it be engaging, have it be changing and dynamic.
Whether people like seeing images or not, one thing is certain. The skyline is about to change as fast as the city it reflects. In San Francisco, I'm Carrie Spivak for Cross Currents.